Good morning, everybody, and happy Father's Day to those of you who are fathers and to those who will help your father celebrate this day. A special welcome to any first-time fathers this morning enjoying their first Father's Day with their family. And to those of us who have witnessed quite a few Father's Days in our time, well, we've never known one quite like this one. I trust you're able to find an appropriate way to mark this occasion, even while the restrictions continue. I've been indulging in a little nostalgia this week, remembering some things that I learned from my father many years ago now. Dad was usually seen as a man of few words, especially by those who didn't know him particularly well, but it was generally held that when he said something, it was worth taking note of it. This morning, I want to share with you three things I learned from my father. You may find them useful too. The first thing Dad said to me that I want to pass on to you this morning was, ram the bottom of your post holes. Dad was a farmer, and after I left school, we farmed together until he retired. In that time, we did quite a bit of fencing. Now, Dad had a tractor-mounted post-hole digger, so we didn't have to dig the holes by hand, which was great, I have to say. But we put the posts in by hand, hence my father's instruction. Just put a little dirt in the hole around the post and ram it firmly, he said. You see, the temptation always was to shovel in a lot of dirt before you picked up the crowbar. Don't do that. Dad told me, the work you do down the bottom of the hole will save you a lot more work later on. And he was right. If you've got the bottom of the post firm, it will stay firm when you fill the rest of the hole in. If you haven't, nothing you do later is going to make up for it. The same principle works when you're filling a bag of potatoes. You're going to find this all really helpful. When you're picking potatoes, once your bag is about a quarter full, it's important that you give it a few shakes sideways and bounce it on the ground a few times. It's probably better demonstrated than described. That settles the first potatoes firmly in the bag and it stands up nice and straight and it doesn't fall over before you sow it, which is a disaster. And it's still standing up when you come to load it onto the truck or the trailer. Jesus also had some things to say about the importance of getting your foundations right. Time spent establishing a solid foundation is time well spent. And of course, choosing the right foundation is paramount. No doubt the guy in the story Jesus told thought he could save time and money and back-breaking labour by building his house on sand. And he got away with it for a time. Probably his house looked just as good as the one that the wise man built, but difficult times put both builders' workmanship to the test. Only the house built on the rock survived. How are your foundations this Father's Day? Are you building your family on the rock-solid truths and principles that Jesus established and gave to us? The storms will come. 12 months ago, none of us had coronavirus on our radar. The signs are looking better. We mustn't get complacent. This storm will pass, and there will be others, most likely very different, and we probably won't see these coming either. Our families will withstand the storms of life when we give our careful attention to their foundations. Time for the next thing I learned from my father. He also told me, point your wheelbarrow in the direction you want to go before you start to fill it. It's pretty simple, really, a matter of common sense, but I don't know how many times I've forgotten his good advice. Life brings us many sad experiences. Right up there, well, maybe not with the worst of them, but high in the second tier of life's sad experiences is losing control of a barrowload of wet concrete. Trust me, If you've never done it, you don't want to. Some mistakes can be rectified. Lose a barrel load of bricks and you lose some time and effort, but you can pick them up again. Lose your load of wet concrete and it's pretty much a lost cause. And it's so unnecessary. An empty wheelbarrow has 3 points of contact with the ground and it's relatively stable. Once there's something in it, the centre of gravity changes. Once you start to move it, it becomes even more unstable. You see, you turn a wheelbarrow a bit like you turn a bike. You kind of lean it in the direction that you want to go, and unless you're careful, it's at this point at which you can easily lose control. Far better then to point it in the right direction before you start to fill it. There's a metaphor for life in this one too, of course. Let's do a quick survey here this morning. Put your hand up if you went to Sunday school or its equivalent when you were young. Just as I thought, that's more than half of you. Parents who send their kids to Sunday school or kids' church are helping to point them in the right direction before they start filling their barrows. And it's even better when they bring them along with them. Why not write a note to Peg and Bron or one of the leaders or helpers in Kids Church thanking them for all that they do with our children? We and they will probably never know the full benefit of all they do. And it isn't always easy. Some of our little angels come fairly well disguised at times. And of course, home is the place where directions are best set for our children as they grow. How are you going with this? Solomon has some words of wisdom for us. Start children off on the way they should go, he tells us, and even when they are old, they will not turn from it. And we want to note this morning that his advice is a general principle, rather than being a guarantee. What a blessing to have guidance and direction as we begin to accumulate life's experiences. And I should say here, it's not impossible to turn things around, even if you didn't get the greatest start in life. I've admired so much people I've met over the years who made their decision to follow Jesus so much later in life, a decision that involved for them a real turnaround. Sadly, I've also known some who've tried to turn things around but lost it in the process. You may have too. Praise God by his grace. Many have been able to change their direction and follow him. Praise God too for solid Christian families and the start in life that they gave to their children. Now for the third and final thing my father told me that I want to share with you this morning. I had to think long and hard about this one. I'm not sure Dad would be too pleased to know that something he said to me privately is about to be given a wider audience, potentially shared with the world. Have I built it up enough? Are you curious? He said to me on one occasion, if you want to know how a girl will turn out, I reckon I have the attention of at least some of our young men this morning. If you want to know how a girl will turn out, take a look at her mother. Have I said how much I miss having you live in church on Sunday mornings? You'd be surprised at just how much you can see from up the front when you're speaking. I see some of the little nudges, the smiles and the whispers that sometimes take place. I have to try and imagine this morning your response to this bit of advice from my dad. I'm sure Dad would want to add something of a disclaimer before releasing this one to the public. Let me do that for him. I'm sure we should take this as a general observation, not an ironclad guarantee. I've been trying to remember this week just when Dad shared this little gem with me. I think it was probably before I started to take an interest in Loris. And I really don't remember running her through the take a look at her mother test. But if I had, she would have passed with flying colours. I had the loveliest mother-in-law. Loris's mother was kind-hearted and generous. She always looked for and managed to find the best in people she knew. She always reminded her family that we should count our blessings, something she regularly practiced herself. Although life wasn't always easy for her, we would often hear her singing away to herself as she did her housework. She sang hymns. In fact, following the stroke which ultimately ended her life, she never spoke another word, but she could still sing the hymns she loved that brought her so much comfort. Such a blessing to her family. And she was always good to me. The only thing she ever did to me was destroy all the good mother-in-law jokes I've accumulated over the years. Like the one where the couple are having a rather heated discussion, and she says to him, "Oh, you're so mean. How come you never say anything nice about my side of the family?" "Okay," he replies, "how about this? I like your mother-in-law much better than mine." You may want to think about that one for a moment. I won't say Loris and I have never had a disagreement, but we've never had that one. We both had lovely mothers-in-law. My mum didn't have a stroke. She ended up with dementia, which robbed her of so much. It took her memory, her active mind, and her ability to hold a meaningful conversation. But it couldn't touch her sweet and gentle nature, which I suspect she first gained from her mother and spent a lifetime developing. It's been gratifying to see the influence of these lovely, godly women, and not just in the next generation, still evident and still emerging in the generations that have followed. Dad was right, in more ways perhaps than his advice to me that day was intended. The influence of a role model is a powerful one indeed. And so on this day, when we reflect on the importance of God's gift to us in families, I want to ask, what kind of role models are we, as parents in our family, as people of influence in our church and in the wider community? Others are watching and taking note. My dad died back in 1984 while we were in college. I realised just this week I've now lived more of my life without him than I did with him. That also means that, apart from my family, none of you will have met him. Let me introduce him to you. He should be alongside me now, thanks to the magic of Jaron. Dad passed on a lot to me. He really didn't like having his photo taken. I've inherited that. Although I must say, Dad was far more successful in managing to avoid the camera than I have been. Dad gave me his hairstyle. Thanks, Dad. He passed on to me a love of reading, of music and sport. He was always making things. He built the house I lived in growing up. I was around 2 at the time, so I'm sure I wasn't much help. We built a big shed together on the farm. He left me his welder and some other tools I really value, including his spirit level. I reckon there's a good metaphor in that one too, somewhere. Maybe another time. I saw a few things in Dad I decided I didn't want to continue in my life. Not many and nothing major. I just felt I could do without them. You know, that's easier said than done. Solomon might have said, Let your children see some negative things growing up, and even when they are old, they'll still be trying to avoid them. Do you know what I mean? I like what Solomon actually said a whole lot better. One year at Christmas, a parish priest raised a few eyebrows with his Christmas bulletin. He was a bit of a character and an amateur cartoonist. On the front page of his newsletter, he drew a cartoon version of your typical nativity scene, with one of the wise men bending down, looking at the baby in the manger. "Ah, would you just look at him," he's saying. "He's the spitting image of his dad." I guess it was a bit irreverent, but it was theologically sound. Jesus, of course, had two fathers. I'm sure he learned a lot from Joseph, his earthly father, working alongside him in the carpenter's shop. We read elsewhere that Joseph was a good man, a godly man, a good role model, we're sure, for Jesus as he was growing up. But Jesus was the spitting image. Hebrews puts it a little more politely. He was the exact representation of his heavenly father. It's almost Dad's observation in reverse. If you want to know what the father is like, take a look at his son. Like Jesus, I also have, or had, two fathers. I already have a fair bit of my earthly father's likeness. I long to see developing in me more of my Father in heaven. Perhaps you do too. In yourself, I mean, as well as in me. John writes, "How great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are." That in itself is reason enough for us to celebrate Father's Day. Here's the challenge I want to leave with you on this day. How much of our Father's likeness are we showing to others, to our families firstly and especially, but also to those in our communities? Let John continue. "Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. All who have this hope in him purify themselves, just as he is pure." What a day that's going to be. Then the family resemblance will be made complete in us. In the meantime, let's play our part. Let's cooperate with the changes that God is even now wanting to make in us so that we will better reflect his likeness. God bless you. Enjoy the rest of Father's Day.